Welcome to Music for Life, exploring the purpose and value of music to humanity's enrichment. I'm your host, Ryan Malone. This is one of the most famous classical melodies of all time, found in the first movement of a four-movement work by Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart, titled Eine kleine Nachtmusik, which translates literally to A Little Night Music. The title for this piece, however, is more accurately translated A Little Serenade. This term, serenade, describes a chamber work intended to provide light entertainment to a social occasion. And the social occasion was likely in the evening, hence the German compound word of night music. Today on Music for Life, we are going to explore compositions written specifically for evening or nighttime, mainly those intended to depict elements of this time of day. In our Sounds of Scripture segment, we will explore the Bible's mention of night music and how musical inspiration often comes at night. In our Classroom Corner segment, we will see if the time of day that a student practices has any bearing on the student's success. Today on Music for Life, Music for Night. Maybe you've heard of musical compositions titled nocturnes. In addition to nighttime being a popular time of day for music to be performed, the night and its elements of darkness, moonlight, stars, dreams, sleep, or lack thereof, have also inspired composers to represent these elements in their works, and not just in works titled nocturnes. We will explore that today. But first, let's have a brief Sounds of Scripture segment where we survey the Bible's many references to music for a longer sweeping historical perspective on our episode's theme. The biblical record acknowledges the idea of night music performed at night or even created at night. In the New Testament, it was midnight, it says, when the imprisoned Paul and Silas prayed, sang praises, and a great earthquake followed that opened the doors of the prison. But the Old Testament has a handful of scriptures that discuss the night being a time when certain musical inspiration would come. Job 35, verse 10 reads, "But none says, where is God my maker who gives songs in the night?" Here Job is told that God is not only creator, but the source of inspiration for certain compositions. And this inspiration, according to this verse, commonly comes in the night. Sure, it was the composer Benjamin Britten who said, "The old idea of a composer having a terrific idea and sitting up all night to write it is nonsense. Nighttime is for sleeping." And though I would somewhat agree with him, this verse in Job shows that the night might be exactly when the inspiration comes. A similar statement can be found in Psalm 42, verse 8, which reads, "Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life." The composer of Psalm 77 said this, "I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with mine own heart, and my spirit made diligent search." That was verses 5 and 6 of Psalm 77. And in Psalm 149, verse 5, God's saints are told to be joyful in glory and to sing aloud upon their beds. This has been Sounds of Scripture.
I remember you upon my bed and meditate each eve, how you have always been my aid. To you my soul shall cleave.
You are listening to Music for Life. I'm Ryan Malone. This is KPCG. Today's episode is titled Music for Night, and in it we are exploring compositions written specifically to depict elements of the evening or night time. This idea becomes more noticeable into the mid to late 19th century, the period usually referred to as the Romantic era, but even in the two eras that preceded it, the Classical era and before that the Baroque era, composers were writing on nocturnal themes. One of the great composers of the Baroque era was Johann Sebastian Bach. When it comes to nocturnal music, one particular work of his that relates to this subject would be the Goldberg Variations, which I've discussed on a previous episode. According to music historians, this piece was originally written to soothe the insomnia of a nobleman who frequently visited the city where Bach was employed at the time. Bach wrote the piece for the nobleman's harpsichordist, a man by the name of Goldberg, to play for the troubled count. So in one sense, this epic work of the Goldberg Variations would count as a type of night music. Again, we did discuss this more in depth in an episode titled Music for Health, and I'd encourage you to go into the archives to hear that episode if you'd like to hear more on this particular subject and this particular piece. But we're going to hear a different work of J.S. Bach, one that makes explicit reference to the night, and it's because this is a vocal work containing text that refers to the night. This is from one of Bach's many, many sacred cantatas. This one is numbered BWV 227, and it is titled Jesu meine Freude. The movement we will hear is Gute Nacht, o Wesen. The use of night in this text is more metaphoric, but I believe you can hear the music appropriately matching the nocturnal flavor. In this movement, the singers are bidding good night, or Gute Nacht, to worldliness, sins, pride, pomp, and a life filled with vice. They are telling these sins to come no more to the light. So that is what they are saying good night to, and we'll hear it here performed by the Bach Collegium Japan under conductor Masaki Suzuki. Thank you. That was Gute Nacht, O Wesen, from Bach's Cantata BWV 227. We heard Masaki Suzuki conducting the Bach Collegium Japan in that recording. The English translation reads, "Good night, existence chosen by the world. You do not please me. Good night, you sins. Stay far behind me. Come no more to the light. Good night, pride and splendor. Once and for all, sinful existence, I bid you good night." So Bach matched the nocturnal metaphor in the tempo and style of that chorus. As we move into the classical era to explore night-inspired compositions, we come to a symphony written by Haydn, nicknamed Le Soir, or The Evening. As you may recall from previous episodes, Franz Joseph Haydn wrote extensively for a wealthy family in the Habsburg monarchy, the Esterházys. The first works he produced to be performed in their court in Eisenstadt was his trio of symphonies, No. 6, 7, and 8. They were a trilogy of morning, noon, and night symphonies. This final symphony of the set, Le Soir, is said to have been written in the traditions of Vivaldi's Four Seasons, combining elements of a concerto with elements of program music, or that is, music meant to describe something or depict something non-musical. We are going to hear the fourth and final movement of this symphony, the only explicitly programmatic movement of the symphony. In this case, the programmatic element is a storm, as this movement is nicknamed La Tempesta. So you will have to imagine, in this lively movement, a dark and stormy, and yet still absolutely cheery, night. Here it is performed by the Freiburg Baroque Orchestra. Thank you. You are listening to Music for Night on Music for Life. I'm Ryan Malone, and we are exploring compositions written specifically to depict elements of evening or nighttime. This is KPCG. That was Le Soir, or The Evening Symphony, by Franz Joseph Haydn, performed by the Freiburg Baroque Orchestra. We heard the final movement, programmatically titled The Storm, and what a lively evening storm we just heard there. As we move into the Romantic era, music becomes even more programmatic. That is, the music is often meant to depict something non-musical, like certain elements of the night. Also in the Romantic era, a whole genre grows out of this idea of night music, the nocturne. We talked about how this was a genre of piano music largely originated by the Irish composer John Field, but a genre which Frédéric Chopin brought more to the light, if you'll pardon the contradictory pun. They are now a major part of the standard piano repertoire. One 20th century pianist and Chopin enthusiast by the name of Louis Kentner thought that if a pianist neglected to include nocturnes as part of their repertoire, they, quote, are guilty of peevish discrimination, for if these pieces are too sweet or not very relevant for our cheerless age, they are still expressive of another happier age, and therefore entitled to bring pleasure to us poor deprived humans, unquote. Of the 20 nocturnes Chopin wrote for the piano, one of my personal favorites would have to be the 8th nocturne in D-flat. Here it is, performed by Yevgeny Kissin. Thank you. That was pianist Yevgeny Kissin performing Chopin's Nocturne in D-flat. You could call it Chopin's Eighth Nocturne, or more technically, the Nocturne Opus 27, number 2. Chopin was well known for writing about 20 of these nocturnally inspired piano compositions, many of which favor a more peaceful nature, though they can certainly be peppered with bouts of explosiveness. In addition to instrumental music of the Romantic era capturing certain elements of nighttime, certain vocal music composed in this style period could also do the same. Composers could take poems on nocturnal themes and write music that appropriately suited the words. This is the case in Richard Strauss's song Im Abendrot, or At Sunset. This comes from a set of four songs that he composed at the end of his life, a set which came to be known as the Four Last Songs. Arranged in this particular order after his death, this set ends with the song that sets Josef von Eichendorff's poem about the sun setting, and the obvious metaphor here is that of the sun setting on life, a subject that was attractive, no doubt, to the 85-year-old composer. We're going to hear a recording of soprano Renee Fleming with the Houston Symphony Orchestra and conductor Christoph Eschenbach. Listen not just for the nocturnal serenity of this piece as it draws to a close, but also specifically to two flutes that trill over top of this rich orchestral texture. Those flutes represent two larks, as the poem references these two birds soaring upward into the hazy twilight.
Thank you.
That was Im Abendrot, or At Sunset, the last of the four last songs, the final set of art songs composed by Richard Strauss. We heard it performed by René Fleming and the Houston Symphony Orchestra under Christoph Eschenbach. And today on Music for Life, we are exploring compositions written specifically to depict elements of evening or nighttime. The text of that poem speaks of two larks soaring upward into the haze of dusk, and you heard the two birds represented by the trilling flutes there at the end. So that was what we would call word painting or text painting in a composition intended to depict certain elements of nighttime through the musical choices made by the composer. Into the 20th century, we continue to see more music inspired by various aspects of the night. At the turn of the 20th century, in France, was the Impressionist movement, which we've heard talked about at length on this program. One of the most famous pieces from that period was a piece inspired by a particular element of night, that of moonlight. Claude Debussy's piano piece Clair de Lune, or In the Light of the Moon, can certainly evoke images of a peaceful, moonlit evening. The phrase came from a poem by the famous French poet Paul Verlaine, specifically a phrase that reads, "The still moonlight, sad and beautiful, sets the birds softly dreaming in the trees." Though the piano piece inspired by this poem has become enormously popular, the poem itself was set to music by at least two famous composers, Debussy being one of them. The other exquisite setting I'm referring to was by the French composer Gabriel Fauré. Here is tenor Ian Bostridge with pianist Julius Drake performing Fauré's setting of Clair de Lune. Les grands jets d'eau se verrent That was Gabriel Fauré's Clair de Lune, performed by tenor Ian Bostridge. The text itself references the light of the moon, and the music suitably matches the nocturnal nature of this text. Again, we are exploring music for night, or nocturnally inspired compositions on today's Music for Life. This was a common inspiration among composers of French Impressionism. Moving later into the 20th century, I want to play you one more nocturne. This is a movement from Aaron Copland's 1942 ballet, Rodeo. Now, some use the Spanish pronunciation, the language from which this word originated, when pronouncing the title of this work, Rodeo. But I prefer the English rendering of it, which is what I believe Copland also favored, Rodeo. At any rate, this is the chorale nocturne movement, which features mainly the oboe and bassoon, and is intended to represent the contemplations of a lovesick cowgirl. It offers a clear break from the more upbeat nature of the rest of the ballet. In this recording, Eric Kunzel conducts the Cincinnati Pops Orchestra. That was Chorale Nocturne, a piece that depicts a lonely cowgirl's musings in the darkness of night from Aaron Copland's ballet, Rodeo. That was Eric Kunzel conducting the Cincinnati Pops Orchestra. Before we get into our final musical example today, let's have a brief classroom corner segment where we explore different methods and curricula for introducing young people to music. We've seen how a lot of music has been inspired by the night and how music is often performed at night, but it poses the question, what is the best time of day for practicing music? Well, Jeff Colvin, in his book Talent is Overrated, recounts a study conducted in the late 1990s that might help us determine the answer. The study was performed on students of the Music Academy of West Berlin. Professors of the academy were asked to select students to represent three different categories: those who were exceptional and had potential to become world-class solo performers, those who were very skilled but not quite to the standard of the first group, and those who weren't as good that would most likely go into teaching. And the idea that our music educators aren't the exceptional musicians is a little scary to me, but anyway. One of the interesting finds of the study was that the first two groups, the more exceptional ones, practiced mostly in the later part of the morning or early in the afternoon. However, the students in the third group had a tendency to practice in the late afternoon, which was when they were generally more tired. It is also interesting to note that the two higher performing groups slept more at night and also took afternoon naps. Though it may not be feasible to practice late morning or early afternoon, nor is an afternoon nap always practical either, the idea of choosing a time of day when the student is most fresh and rested might be the difference between mediocrity and getting the most return on your investment. This has been Classroom Corner. You are listening to Music for Life. I'm Ryan Malone. This is KPCG. Today we have been exploring compositions written specifically to depict elements of evening or nighttime in an episode I've titled Music for Night. On this episode, we have seen that nighttime is not just a popular time of day for music to be performed. The elements of night, darkness, moonlight, stars, dreams, sleep, insomnia, have also inspired composers throughout music history. Finally, it's time for our dessert, where we hear an example from the popular or folk tradition to end the program. It may not be a huge shock in a show about music for night that I would play this popular song from Phantom of the Opera by Andrew Lloyd Webber. This is the famous song sung by the title character who has come to relish the darkness afforded by the night, partially due to his facial disfigurement. Certainly there is a lot of beauty in the night, as composers have captured throughout history and as we have explored today. And Andrew Lloyd Webber captures that beauty wonderfully in the music he set to Charles Hart's lyrics. Here it is from the original cast recording, sung by Michael Crawford, The Music of the Night.
Nighttime sharpens, heightens each sensation. Darkness wakes and stirs imagination. Silently the senses abandon their defenses, helpless to resist the notes I write. For I compose the music of the night. Slowly, gently, night unfurls its splendor. Grasp it, sense it, tremulous and tender. Hearing is believing, music is deceiving. Hard as lightning, soft as candlelight. The night. Close your eyes, for your eyes will only tell the truth, and the truth isn't what you want to see. In the dark it is easy to pretend that the truth is what it all. possess you. Open up your mind, let your fantasies unwind in this darkness which you know you cannot fight. The darkness of the music of the night. Close your eyes, start a journey through a strange new world. Leave all thoughts of the world you knew before. Close your eyes and let music set you free. Only then can you belong to me. Trust me, savor each sensation. Let the dream begin, let your darker side give in to the power of the music that I write, the power of the music of the
You have been listening to Music for Life, a production of KPCG 101.3 on the FM dial in Edmond, Oklahoma. From the Herbert W. Armstrong College campus, I'm Ryan Malone. Thanks for joining me.